Kawhi Leonard is out as the Clippers. I mean, they're in a weird spot, Chris, as we get into pocket watching a little bit later in the show. We will be joined by Law Murray, who is one of the Clippers media members that broke the Kawhi being out news. So we will get more of a breakdown from him on that. But they're in a weird spot to where it's hard to play when you're not really playing to hold on to a spot versus to gain a spot, right? The Clippers are in a weird position to where they're four games back of the T-Wolves. So basically, they're just playing to not lose the four seed.
Pretty much,
which is a little bit different than trying to catch someone, right? The Mavericks could probably catch the Clippers.
Could,
so the Clippers are in a weird spot to where their motivation might become a question, and that has been an issue with the Clippers. And because they're locked into it, the Kings get gifts like tonight where Kawhi is out because they cannot catch the T-Wolves.
Yeah. There is still a chance. I mean, if the Clippers lose tonight and Dallas wins their next game, they're only a game up. So there is still a chance that they could fall to Dallas down the stretch here. But, you know, definitely you're right. Like, there is a different vibe, a different intensity for when you're chasing somebody. I mean, when you have that carrot dangling in front of you, you're going to act a little bit differently than when you're constantly looking over your shoulder. And I think, you know, it's definitely more of a passive team. You're probably not going to catch them. You know, it's not full steam ahead like it's going to be with the Kings or like it was with Dallas or like some of these, you know, the Kings still have to play New Orleans and Phoenix and OKC. Those teams are all, to your point, fighting for something, trying to build towards something, whether it be the number one seed for OKC or, you know, we know New Orleans and Phoenix are both fighting with the Kings for that play-in spot. That's not going to be the same energy that you have tonight, I would guess. Of course, Clippers still need to win games. They're still going to want to go out there and try and get to 50 wins. They're at 47 right now. It feels like 50 would probably keep them safe of being leapfrogged. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Kings have to take tonight and hope that the Clippers are overlooking them. Maybe that's how you can look at this Kawhi Leonard sitting out tonight is them saying, you know, tonight is not a all-in night for us because we know Kawhi is only – this is only the seventh game Kawhi has missed all year long.
Yeah.
If they really felt like they had to have Kawhi's going. So take that as a bit of disrespect and use that.
Yeah, and if they were one game behind the T-Wolves –
there's no way, right?
Or something like that, maybe it would be a little bit different. But this is where we're at. Let's hear from Ty Lue and basically him explaining – the Kawhi sitting out tonight situation.
Any idea when it might have crept up?
Last game.
Is he going to be good to go for Thursday?
We hope so. We're not sure right now, but that's what we're leaning towards. That's what we hope, you know, hopefully that he'll be back by Thursday. We're not sure yet.
When did you kind of hear from him about it? Like, just after the game, or do you feel like it's something that you can kind of pinpoint, like, during the game?
Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. And heard about it after the game, but yesterday when we found out.
Yeah.
Is he with you guys today?
No, he went back to L.A. Better resources as far as treatment and everything like that. So he went back yesterday once we landed.
This is how it starts.
Interesting.
This is how he did not sound happy.
He did not, right? Like, I mean, you know, I know coaches aren't usually, you know, super talkative, especially when it comes to injuries, but that was, like, very short.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's... I mean, you know, he's like, Kawhi, like, I thought we were past this, man. Like,
now
and Kawhi's probably saying, hey, coach, like, I got to be fresh for the playoffs. Yeah. I played all these games. You don't want me burning out in the playoffs. And meanwhile, Ty Lue's like, brother, we're not in the play. Like, we still are fighting a little bit here. So maybe there's a little bit of that going on, but definitely thought it was interesting. You know, I know he says, you know, we have better treatment options out there in LA, but kind of interesting that he's not with the team. I guess, you know, if he's not going to be helping, it's not the end-all be-all. But I think it's a bit interesting that they just kind of shipped him back over to L.A. I would assume their next game is probably at home.
So Thursday it's at home, and they have the Nuggets.
Okay, so maybe making sure he's okay for that one.
I mean, a win is a win nowadays.
I would think so, right?
Yeah, I would think you want to take care of business. But, yeah, they get the Nuggets, and then after that they get the Jazz on Friday all at home. So, well –
you know, the Sacramento Kings have been in this position before, and we've seen that they really haven't done the best job of taking advantage of this. I mean, we've talked about it all year. It's now to the point where it's become a meme. It's become a joke to say, oh, Kawhi Leonard's out. I don't like the Kings' chances tonight. That makes me feel a lot worse, because we've seen this Kings team, whether it's that Miami game without Jimmy Butler, whether it was, you know, I think Chicago played a game here a month ago where they didn't have some of their stars going. You know, it hasn't really meant much for this Kings team, but to your point earlier, hopefully this is a new team. Hopefully right.
Because they're shorthanded.
They're shorthanded, exactly. So they can't have that, oh, we should win today mentality, because – realistically, you probably shouldn't win any of these games from how you're stacked up right now. You're going to have to go out there and get it, and you're going to have to earn it, and you're going to have to show teams that just because we don't have Malik and Kevin does not mean that we don't have a team. We still got some guys out there that can make some noise, and I think that's really the goal for the end of this year, is just show that this season is not over yet.
You know what's a little bit bizarre, and I know Vegas isn't the end-all be-all, but I'm not mistaken, when I was doing off nights last night, the Clippers were 2-point favorites, and as of an hour ago, I know the news just dropped, so it probably hasn't updated yet, but yeah, they were a 2-point favorite with Kawhi, assuming yeah. Kawhi was playing. Without Kawhi, it might go back to the Kings, which I don't want it to do.
Maybe it'll be a pick 'em
at all, but do you think that's a little bit bizarre?
There's no way.
To only be 2-point favorites with Kawhi and James and Paul George, and the Kings are missing Malik?
Yeah, maybe their thought is that what we just kind of, like, the Kings are going to fight regardless, and, you know, maybe, you know, the Clippers have slipped here as of late. They're not as scary as a team as what they were last time they played them. And I'm looking at it now, Alan. From what I'm seeing here, and I've now seen it on two different things, the Kings are now 2.5-point favorites themselves.
Stop!
So I don't, that.
Not again!
Now I'm on your side. No. That does not make me feel
I don't
better
want
about
this.
Tonight, for sure.
I
that
don't want this.
That definitely is a little bit strange. Again, I don't think the Kings locker room is looking at that and feeling any differently, but
no,
it's a bit weird. It's a bit strange that you know, I know that those numbers are kind of loosely based off of people's actions of the game, but I don't know. Just switching from 2.5 one side to 2.5 the other, I'm not saying I don't think that the Kings have a good shot at winning because Kawhi's not out there, but I don't know if I would say that they are the favorite and then some.
When you go down the list, right, and I know your boy Norman Powell.
That's right. He's starting tonight.
Well,
he's starting
I know.
Tonight.
It's gonna be a tough one. Yeah. He kills the Kings. He kills everybody,
he
by
does.
The way.
He does.
If you look at it like this, as far as the best players, right, you would say now, who has the best player on the floor? You taking De'Aaron over Paul George?
I would hope so. I would hope so. Yes.
Okay.
I think Paul George is close, but I think they're right around the same.
So, caliber. If you're looking at this from the Vegas standpoint,
it's up for grabs. Maybe it's
you I'm could saying. Say that the Kings have what? At least, two of the best four player? Is it split?
It's probably split.
Because you have Sabonis, yeah. You have De'Aaron.
Yeah.
I'm taking them over Paul George and James Harden.
Yeah, I'd probably go with how I expect it to go tonight. I would say De'Aaron 1, probably Paul George 2. And then, you know, that might be the swing. Is James Harden going to be better than Sabonis? Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to be more impactful? We've seen, remember that first game where James Harden came in here? I think he had like 18 points in the first quarter or something crazy like that. Hit all those threes. If they get a version of that James Harden, then yeah, I mean, I think it's going to go pretty well in the Clippers' favor. But if we see, I think the last time James Harden came in here, he had under 15 points and was really held to being more of a facilitator, then that's going to bode well for the Kings. So really, you could say that is where this game is going to be determined, is how good of a game does James Harden play? And you know, we've talked about Zubac stopping Sabonis. Is Sabonis able to have the impact that at this point he has to have? Mm-hmm. And then some. You know, he's going to have to probably have over 10 assists if the Kings are going to win today, because he's going to have to create some shots for others. We talked about it yesterday. While De'Aaron and Sabonis need to step up, it's not just on those two to up their scoring levels.
It's just bizarre, the Clippers and what they do. Listen
it's
to
really
listen to
weird.
This. I know it's the Hornets,
yeah.
But Paul George had 41 points.
Nuts.
Kawhi had 23 points. Zubac had 24 points.
Oof.
James Harden had 10 assists and 6 points.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're just playing around. When you're playing against a team that bad, you don't – James is just, let me set everybody up. Yeah. I might not even need to work today.
Right.
And he clearly didn't. He was like, this is how I'm going to get my off night here. No, good plug there, but
– there you go.
You know, that's what makes that team so dangerous, though, is that, yeah, Paul George – can be the best player on the floor any night. Kawhi, you expect him to be the best player on the floor every night. But even if he's not, he's still going to give you 23, and I bet he held his opponent underneath 20 points too. So, and then when you have that big of a performance out of Zubac, that tells me with 10 assists from Harden, they killed him in the pick and roll. And, yeah. You know, that's what makes this team so dangerous is pick your poison. You want these two forwards to just ISO you to death and score on your defenders, Keegan Murray, go ahead. Paul George will score over you. Kawhi Leonard, he'll take Harrison Barnes to work all day. Or if you want, they'll run pick and roll with Harden and Zubac, and they can get Harden going that way. They can get Zubac going that way. And then you can't forget about my guy Norm Powell, who's just sitting in the corner ready to detonate. And then again, last time the Kings played this team, they didn't have Russell Westbrook, who is we just know what Russ brings off the bench. Mm-hmm. Tons of energy, kind of a bit of a boomer bust. He's either going to have, you know, 10 plus points, or he's probably going to go 2 of 10 and shoot his team out of the game. So they have a lot of different weapons, a lot of different ways they can win. And this is a good early test for this Kings team, because this is a team that does have a lot of depth. Yeah. And the Kings at this point have kind of lost a lot of their depth. So it'll be interesting how they kind of counterbalance that.
This is a huge opportunity for the Kings now with Kawhi Leonard out to not necessarily be thrown in the pool, right? At least you're in the pool.
Yeah.
What are you at, the 4 feet mark, right? It's starting to get a little bit deep.
You got that little, you know, spaghetti thing.
Exactly.
You know,
if the Jazz, that was 2 feet.
Yeah.
That was maybe
kiddie pool.
Yeah, that's basically the kiddie pool. Now you're looking at 4 feet, something like that, and where it's okay, I
got
to pay attention here.
Got your neck.
The neck is still hanging on, because after this, then you go to the Knicks. And if you look, this is why it's been such a up and down and partly upsetting season. When we talk about the bad losses from the Kings, we don't even mention the losing to the Bulls. We don't even mention losing to the Heat.
Yeah.
That's a separate
different category. Of loss. Yeah.
And then there were games, the 76ers game where you got blown out, no Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Now you have another, you got to face the Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Now you have another opportunity. All of a sudden, you get the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. And then when you go to New York, now you'll get the Knicks without OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
So,
and who knows what that Celtics game will look like.
And who knows what they've been trying to hook you up all season,
all season long.
And you just said, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Coming up next, continuing the conversation, Harrison Barnes doing Harrison Barnes things. He's up for a couple different awards, and we'll have a discussion. Who is a better comp, the Timberwolves or the Nuggets? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. From the 707, if y'all keep calling him Russell Westbrook, he gonna go 8 of 10 from the arc tonight. LOL. Look, I'm a very superstitious person. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that now. Yeah, I'm not really worried about this one. I'm gonna be honest. And if it happens, I will wear it.
Yeah. What did Russell do in that Hornets game? Because he spent a lot of time talking
That's
to
right.
that band.
That's
you know?
Right. He, yeah, in the, He had some things to say to that Hornets fan.
Right.
What else did he do in the actual game? He had 11 points.
Okay.
With 5 rebounds and 4 assists in 20 minutes, which feels like that's what Russell Westbrook is now.
That's like that's average. That's about like you said, that's about what Russ brings. So I guess anything more than that would be proof of
concept. Well, they need to add rebounds, points, assists, and fans kicked out
that's
of the
right.
game.
That's right.
Because the averages, it feels like
that's a
1.5.
Yeah, 0.5.
Maybe that'll be on Prop Talk.
Yeah, maybe it might be. Because that's tough, too, because then you got to consider, okay, Like, is the person who's heckling him, what are the odds that they're with somebody, and then that's going to put you on the over?
Because it's two.
But it's like, you know, the odds of somebody who is going to confront a professional athlete at that level, what are the odds that that person has friends, you know?
Yeah,
like, that's pretty small, and so that's where, you know, the point five, like, it's tough, you know? That's a tough number to try and hit.
Looking at the kind of the landscape of this whole thing, and when you have some things to say to athletes and hopefully you don't cross the line. That Thunder team have two of the most, I don't think the word is hated, and I don't know if the word is polarizing, but KD deals with a lot. Russell Westbrook deals with a lot. It just feels like that whole big three situation, they ended up being three of the most polarizing players in this generation's game.
Yeah, you're talking about the Thunder three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, you really can't tell the story of the 2010s without those three guys. I mean, they're really the most important three between KD's championships and Russ and Harden's MVPs and how they got them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really, like, they are the 2010s, really. Of course, Steph Curry and LeBron definitely had a factor in the 2010s as well, but you know, the regular season, especially with Russ's triple doubles and then what that sparked with that conversation, which we still have today because of Domantas Sabonis. And then James Harden's really started the whole ethical basketball conversation as well with the foul merchants and the, hey, he's getting a triple double, but at what cost? And is this really basketball, or has he bastardized basketball and turned it into this numbers game instead of turning it into a beautiful, you know, passing, moving, shooting game. It is really interesting. And, you know, what's also interesting is, would any of that have happened if they just stayed together?
Yeah.
Like, what would that have looked like? Would they have ran the 2010s? Would we even be talking about the Warriors today if those three just stayed together in OKC? I don't know. But it is really intriguing how those three have been the most, you could argue the most three influential players, Steph Curry and LeBron removed, of the 2010 since.
If you gave Kevin Durant truth serum, do you think he wishes that they ran it back?
Absolutely. I would think you would have
so to. So you blow the 3-1 to the Warriors, and then the Warriors blow a 3-1 to the Cavs, and then you just go back to OKC.
I would think you would have to. But that's also past the point of trading Harden, right? I believe Harden had been traded the season before, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's at that point, it's just him and Russ.
I think it was just him and Russ at that point. But even then, like, you still had Serge Ibaka. You still had Steven Adams. Mm-hmm. I would think you would run it back. I mean, I would think that, you know, he got his two championships. At what cost? I think you would definitely be able to speak more to how the feelings of how even Golden State or San Francisco specifically feels about KD in those moments. You were on the ground floor. You heard callers and all those people. Even though KD was a massive part of that, there was still conversations of, you know, whose team it was.
He was a hired gun.
Hired gun, completely.
That's what he was.
Yeah, totally. They never embraced him as one of his own. I don't think he has felt like the post-OKC portion of his career has been worth it.
I saw something on social media a couple days ago. It said that they feel bad for Kevin Durant because he has no home.
No, he doesn't.
If you look
at booed, I think, the other day in OKC.
If you look at some of the other greats right now, I would say, obviously, Steph has his.
Yeah.
LeBron has his as well. You can go back to Cleveland at any point
Steph's
in time.
Steph's got two homes.
I would even say Harden has the Rockets to a lesser degree, right? And KD has no home.
None at all. Like, and I don't even, I mean, OKC would be the closest thing I would think. But the way he left them, like, I can only imagine. Like, if Chris Webber would have done that, there's no love. There is zero love for Chris Webber.
Y'all don't even like Buddy Hield.
I mean, Buddy didn't give us anything, so that's why we don't love Buddy Hield. If Buddy Hield took us to a 3-1 Western Conference Finals, I think we would feel a little bit different. I mean, OKC don't love him, that's for sure. I mean, I would never be able to personally get over something like that. There's no way Brooklyn loves him, right? Like,
no.
For his month and a half or whatever, year and a half there.
Yeah.
Phoenix, maybe he has the best shot of claiming just because Phoenix doesn't have
the
brightest history. And, yeah, I mean, he hasn't really accomplished much there.
Yeah, yeah, it is something else. Yeah. But we know Westbrook always has some things to say. Kawhi Leonard, if you are just now joining us, Kawhi Leonard will not be on the floor tonight. It was reported about 20-ish, 30-ish minutes ago. Kawhi Leonard out with knee soreness. Mm. So here's an opportunity now for the Kings to take care of business and to literally just take advantage of a situation that maybe they weren't so good at taking advantage of in years past.
Yeah.
If you look at the Clippers season series, they only faced, what did they face, the Clippers at full strength once or twice? I know they lost bad to the Clippers, and the Clippers were either missing someone or
Paul George didn't play last time these two teams.
Okay, played. Maybe that's the first win that they got off of the Clippers, and it was with Paul George out. Because I know they got waxed early on, and somebody was off a back-to-back, and then the Kings were off a back-to-back. So this is an opportunity for the Kings to take care of business. It's that simple.
Absolutely. Like it shouldn't matter who's playing. They should just focus on themselves. But as we know, it definitely has mattered. You have an opportunity for what it's worth to split this season series at 2-2. I don't really think that the Kings have any chance of catching the Clippers in that four spot or in the division, either one. But at the same time, it is a good feather in the cap, and I think it is building really good momentum for this really, really tough road trip. Keeping those good feelings, feeling good, I think is going to be huge for this team, not feeling the weight of having Malik. Because here's the thing, if they get beat by 20, 25 tonight, mm-hmm. that's the kind of thing that can start to, get you feeling like, I don't know if we can compete without these guys. You just don't want those thoughts to ever cross your mind. Again, keep the good feelings feeling good. It would be so big to just carry momentum here going into the road. Who knows what will happen once they hit it. But if you start this road trip on a really, really sour note, at this point in the season, it's really tough to recover from it. So I think this is a really, really big game uh-huh. just for the spirits of this team. Getting blown out by the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard at home before you have your biggest road trip of the year.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That is ultimate bad vibe. So you got to keep it feeling good today. And as is going to be the case with the rest of these games, you have to treat this like this is the final game of your season.
We hear from Harrison Barnes, and he has some things to say about the Kings' mentality moving forward when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Harrison Barnes. We have a lot to say about Harrison Barnes on this show, as most Kings fans do. But one thing that we will always make sure we say about Harrison Barnes is that he is the model professional. He does things the right way. That's why we joke about him wearing a suit. And as far as what a GM looks for in a player, I think if a GM was on NBA 2K and could create a player just from a PR standpoint, Harrison Barnes would be at the top of the list. And now he is up for not one, but just two awards, Chris Watkins.
Yeah, that would be a really strange version of 2K, is if you were just like... forget all the stats. I want who's got the most charisma? Who's mm-hmm. got 99 charisma?
That's right.
I'm going to build a team full of just stand-up individuals. Wins and losses be damned. We're going to win that press conference. That's all that matters. HB is as you just outlined. I mean, he is the model citizen. He is the one who every single team would want a Harrison Barnes, if not multiple Harrison Barneses, in their locker room. And the news that we learned today is definitely – very, very representative of that, as HB has been announced to be a finalist for not one, but two awards. And honestly, he's never won either of these, but they should be renamed the Harrison Barnes Award. He is a finalist for the 2023-24 Sportsmanship Award. Mm-hmm. The other finalist, there is a designated player from all of the divisions in the NBA, making divisions kind of useful. Tyrese Maxey, Jared Allen, Kevin Love, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Harrison Barnes, and Trey Jones are all of the finalists. Of course, we feel like HB is the best of those options. He's also in the running. Not only is he for sportsmanship, which shows how you treat other opponents,
right,
he is also a finalist for Teammate of the Year. All of these, I believe, are NBAPA awards. So all is voted and nominated by the players themselves. Harrison Barnes, again, finalist for the Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year finalist award. It is Harrison Barnes, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson, KCP, Mike Conley, Markelle Fultz, Al Horford, TJ McConnell, Jalen Williams of the Thunder, Dwight Powell, George Niang, and Larry Nance Jr. are the other finalists. So HBA finalists for Teammate and Sportsmanship of the Year awards.
That's just outstanding.
Doesn't get better.
That's why it's always been really tough with HB, man. I mean, you have somebody who just does so many things right off the court and on the court, but there are just situations to where you're just, I just want more of it.
Yeah.
It's never been about Harrison Barnes not being good enough. It's been about Harrison Barnes not being consistent enough.
Yeah.
And when you don't have that consistency, it can get a little confusing there. But here's an opportunity for Harrison Barnes, along with the rest of the team, to show up with Malik Monk not around right now, and same with Kevin Huerter. This is an opportunity for Harrison Barnes, and he balled out against the Jazz. What do you do tonight? That's the thing. We can't just sit here and talk about what he just did.
Right.
It's about what you are going to do next. You're only as good as your next performance. Let's hear from Harrison Barnes. He was asked about the mentality for the Kings right now and how he's viewing it with some of the guys being out.
You know, when you try to take a long-term view of where things are at and the standings and the last, you know, three games or five games or however you want to look at it, I think the thing for us to focus on is, you know, the only way is through. Whether that's, you know, we get the sixth seed, whether we get in the playing game, no matter who we see in the first round, whatever it is, it's through. And that's our mentality. That's what we feel like we are. You know, we know that any given night, if we show up and we do things that we're supposed to do, we're going to be in good shape. And for these next eight games and the games after that, I think that's our focus. And we take this month as the positive steps that we're taking, but we know that we need to continue to get better defensively and taking care of the ball on offense.
Well, that all starts tonight.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. And it starts with him, too. It starts with him and Keegan. To me, even though Kawhi Leonard's going to be out, I mean, anything that puts more pressure on both of them, because now I feel like, you know, where you had both of those guys individually worried about their matchups, now I'm expecting them to help each other out. And then on the offensive end, we need to have production out of HB and Keegan, both of them need to have some sort of impact on the offensive end while still trying to shut off what the Clippers' best option is in Paul George. And that's no small task. They're probably going to have to, you know, go quarter by quarter or half by half in terms of trying to guard Paul George. But those two guys, man, they are going to be the key for the rest of this season. I've seen tons of people talking about, you know, yeah, with Malik out, Keegan clearly needs to take that scoring load and needs to become more of like an 18, 20 point per game scorer. That's like number one on my list of you just have to have now that Malik and Kevin are out is you've got to have, I guess it doesn't have to be Keegan, but Keegan's the one that makes the most sense. And we already were expecting a leap from him. Those guys have to be a better scorer. They both have to be big presences in the remainder of their games, not just tonight, but those two specifically need to be the Kings' most consistent players, besides, of course, Domantas Sabonis, who we just know is going to bring it every night. Those two need to try and replicate as close to that as they can get.
When you have these guys playing at a high level and playing with the level of intensity, it's funny because I don't we've joked about Keegan Murray and doing the slow-mo,
right,
the Euro step, yeah, like Harrison Barnes. He almost has a fairly similar personality to Harrison Barnes. Yeah. They're both very low-key. Both Iowa boys, both pretty low-key, both have to be told to be more aggressive,
yeah,
at certain points in time. So it's funny that you don't necessarily want to deal with that again,
yeah,
because we've already seen that movie before, no pun intended, with Harrison Barnes. But you have an opportunity, and if you can get over the hump with Keegan and maybe Harrison does his thing as well, you look at these guys and what they have night in, night out, when they're playing with the level of urgency,
mm-hmm,
that starting five is ridiculous. Yeah. And that starting five is going to be better, even though we just named off some of the games and none of the games are going to be easy. But if you actually look at that starting five compared to the other starting fives that they face moving forward, okay, the Clippers without Kawhi?
Sure.
It's close, but I feel like we have to take the Kings starting five. Then you have the Knicks without OG. I'm taking the Kings.
Yeah, player for player.
Fine. Celtics don't have to do that. The Nets, I'm taking the Kings.
Yep.
The Thunder, that's a tough one.
I'm taking OKC.
Okay, fine. Well, that's only now we're only at two.
Yeah.
We're only at two now. Pelicans, now we're at three. But then the Suns, basically you're looking at a situation where 5-3 shouldn't be crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, 5-3 might still end you up in the play-in.
Yeah,
but 5-3 will get you the 7, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you might have to, at this point, just say seedings be damned. Like, it's just about playing good.
Yeah.
Like, where the chips fall at the end of the season, there's not really much you can do about it at this point. You kind of already tricked off your opportunity to have your play justify where you're going to land. At this point, it's just playing your best basket, figuring out however this team can maximize its potential, and you just have to be focused on playing the best basketball possible with this collection of guys. If you win those games, obviously fantastic, great, but you've got to start building. At this point, I mean, it was already going to be the case, but you need to start focusing more on your playoff situation, on how you're going to best utilize your guys. And obviously, those ramp-up games are going to be a huge indicator of what that looks like. It should have started a while ago, but no better time than the present to start now. I mean, you have to have your guys playing as close to playoff basketball as possible because you don't have the luxury of waiting for 2 weeks when the actual playoffs start.
No, not anymore. Nope. And the reason you're in that position is because you lost some games that you shouldn't have.
Exactly.
But at the same time, that doesn't mean you can't turn it around and everything is still right in front of you. Pocket watching when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. A little bit of an update from Casey Pratt and the A's. I guess a statement just came out from the A's. Chris, you got that for us?
Yeah, this just came out 2 minutes ago, so there might be more news trickling out as we go here. But this is, again, from Casey Pratt saying that there's a statement from the A's. Quote, "We appreciate Oakland's engagement. And also, we are far apart on the terms needed to agree on an extension." So there's also word that, the officials that left the meeting said it was productive. But again, says that the team said that the sides left, quote, far apart. So,
yeah,
sounds like there's some traction, but at the end of the day, no agreement met, and for those who haven't quite been keeping up on it, the city of Oakland did recently release the terms at which they were negotiating with the A's, and it was going to be for a 3 to 5 year extension on the lease. The 3 years being what is being reported the Vegas move will be in. The five is kind of more as a hey, if things go wrong with the building plan, then you will, kind of be insured to stay here as that stadium gets fixed. The big difference from the Oakland side is, or from the A's side, I guess, is currently the lease agreement is to pay $1 million. The A's only pay $1 million to rent out essentially the Coliseum. I believe that new figure that the city of Oakland is requesting moves from $1 million to, I think, $97 million. So that's a obviously pretty big jump in payment. So I think that's really where a lot of the separation lies at the moment.
So does it feel like a part two is going to come out soon of this, basically because we're so far apart XYZ?
I would think so, but I'm who really knows with how this process goes. I would imagine with all of this, I think that there will probably be some more noise from the Sacramento front. I mean, I've been hearing a lot from tons of different sources that there's a lot of traction here in Sacramento in terms of movement. There's a lot of people from, the government side to, I've heard some people on just the sports side say that they're feeling like this thing is really moving positively. in Sacramento's direction, but no official word yet. And, you know, I would just tell you from experience with the Kings relocation thing, nothing is over until teams are on, until, you know, things are packed and buses are being moved. So, you know, while it might seem bleak and might seem far apart on the A's front, crazier things have happened. Not much crazier, but crazier things have definitely happened. So while there is a lot of momentum on the Sacramento front, Oakland is still definitely at the negotiation table.
Crazy.
It's nuts. I mean, I think we're at the point where I don't think anything has ever even touched the mess that this has become. I mean, realistically, what, there's four cities who think that there's a non-zero chance that the A's will play for in their city next year. I mean, you got Vegas isn't going to be next year, but they are under the impression the A's are moving there. Salt Lake City seems to think that they have a good shot at getting the team. Obviously, Oakland, Sacramento. That's four different places that are under, you know, they feel like there's a non-zero chance that they will have the A's play there. So that is, feels a bit unprecedented.
And we will continue to monitor that situation as things come out. I don't know if it's done. I don't know if we're done getting news today. So be sure to keep it locked here, and we will continue to keep you updated on the most recent news. By the way, Law Murray of The Athletic, who covers the Clippers, will join us in about 10 minutes to talk Clippers and really, even the Paul George conversation. His name keeps getting thrown around. So we'll talk about this season, and we'll talk about the seasons in front of the Clippers to see what happens next. Into some pocket watching, the Pelicans lost to the Suns last night. And the Suns, like we said, this is what we wanted, right? If the Kings get on a heater, and the Mavs at this point just keep winning because whatever, and they get into that five seed, you're not done yet. You're not done yet, especially if the Pelicans continue to lose and you beat the Pelicans and you beat the Suns. A lot of winning needs to be done.
Yeah.
But it is not completely out of the question. Tonight, Chris, Rockets at Timberwolves.
Ooh.
As the Rockets, their win streak is over. Still playing some good ball.
Yeah.
And Chris's favorite, Mavericks at Warriors.
Yeah. I don't really – I mean, I guess at this point Dallas is so clear that you can – you know, I'm not rooting for the Warriors, so I guess maybe you could – I wouldn't even use the term root, but maybe support Dallas in their winning effort, perhaps. But, you know, actually, maybe – honestly, this might depend on – and it sucks that we're starting to creep towards this conversation.
I know what you're going to say.
You know, Warriors or Rockets, which one would you rather have in that 10 seed if you are going to be in a situation where you do kind of need to worry about that 9-10 matchup? There is a world where, you know, as much as I know nobody out there wants to see the Kings versus the Warriors for the 10,000th time
in
50 days.
Yeah.
But, you know, that might be where the Kings are most comfortable. The Warriors definitely are comfortable with that series. They're still probably going to say, oh, we beat them last year. We're not afraid of them this year. But, you know, the Kings have done well in that matchup here recently, a lot better than what they've done against Houston. So, you know, maybe you do root for, again, root isn't the right word, support Golden State's winning effort if it ultimately means that you feel the Kings have a better chance of making it out of that play-in situation.
I saw something from Anthony Slater.
Friend
of the show, of course. And it was basically who's in, who's out for the Mavs and Warriors. Jonathan Kuminga is questionable.
Okay, that's big.
Klay Thompson is probable.
Okay.
Saric is out, and Warrior fans are not happy with Dario Saric. Yeah. That has not been exactly. They've just been continuing to look for just their European center that's going to stretch the floor.
That's right.
And they just continue to search and search and search. And yeah, it has not worked. I honestly thought that was going to work out pretty well.
I did too. I thought it was going to be the perfect guy. I mean, I think in one of the Kings games, he freaking killed the Kings.
He did. Like, that was the game.
It must have been the best game of the season, right?
That was the no De'Aaron Fox
in the Bay. Yeah.
And ultimately the Klay Thompson shot.
That's right.
To kind of end things. On the Mavs side, Derek Lively is questionable.
Oh, my gosh.
And Josh Green is out.
Where has that been?
I know.
Yeah, we could have used nice. Derek Lively out for one game, and one of those, you know, I guess, you know, against Golden State, you don't really need a guy like Lively. You could probably expose them being so small, but, you know, ultimately, it's not going to kill you to not have Lively out there. I mean, especially with how well Dallas is playing. I don't even – have they won 10 in a row or something? I know they – yesterday, I think I said they had won 9 of their last 10. They're on fire right now. They're definitely the team that nobody wants to play.
They've won 7 in a row.
Is that in Golden State or is that in Dallas? Oh, my gosh. Well,
in the Bay.
You know, at least Dallas has probably become accustomed to this California weather at this point with how long they've stayed here. So,
seriously. You know,
I think I'm going to end up pulling for Dallas in this one. But
you just think that it doesn't really matter whether the Warriors win or lose because Dallas is so far gone.
They're so far gone. It feels like they're out of the Kings conversation.
They are.
You
cannot – those we can move on, but those two games, man, I mean, literally.
We can talk about it in like a month maybe, but
it is what it is.
Those two games really are going to be the thing where that's when all – not hope, but that's, I mean, you could say that's when all hope was lost.
Right. Well, it just removes, in a way, it removed your ability to control your destiny.
Right.
And it also removed any buffer. You have to play some of the best ball. Like I said, 5-3 would be, with this slate, would be great.
That'd be great.
5-3, it probably gets you the 7.
Yeah. That's probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe
depending
not.
Depending on
it
what
might
the other
still
teams
give
do,
you an 8, yeah.
Which is just insane. But that is how some of these schedules work, and ultimately the Kings know what's in front of them, and maybe they get hot. And look, De'Aaron Fox, and we talked about this yesterday. You got to start looking at this as an opportunity.
Yes, exactly.
You have to start looking at this as a way to say anybody that's been on Styles and Watkins as a caller or a texter. Or anybody in the Kings media that or fan base that doesn't think that I'm that guy yet, this is an opportunity for me. We've seen other stars not play without a fully loaded, and you still have a double-double machine.
Still, sure do.
You're missing Malik Monk, You're missing a sixth man who probably could start, but you still got Sabonis.
Yep.
It would be a different conversation to me if Sabonis was out.
Yeah, absolutely, right. Completely, because that's a huge engine that you don't have, but you still, the car's still got an engine.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron, you could definitely be the thing that puts that car into first place. And you know, it's we've seen De'Aaron kind of do this these past couple years, especially since Sabonis has got here. He kind of lets Sabonis cook a bit in the first.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron starts to kind of pick it up as the game goes on. Fourth quarter is his quarter.
Right,
we know
right.
that. These are situations where that can't be the formula anymore. It's De'Aaron Fox has to have his foot on the gas first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter especially. But, you know, without Malik to provide that secondary pop in the first quarter, that needs to just be De'Aaron having his foot on the gas the entire game.
Yeah.
There can't be any lulls. You can't have any, what did De'Aaron really do this quarter? It's got to be just putting it on, stacking up those points quarter after quarter after quarter, and, you know, hopefully doing it while still having a good shot selection. We've seen De'Aaron has fallen in love with the three a couple games. That can't be the elevated shot attempts that we're looking at. It's got to be at the rim shot attempts. I don't want to see De'Aaron taking 12 to 15 threes in a game.
No. When we return, we will be joined by Law Murray of The Athletic, who covers the Clippers, and we will have a nice conversation with him about the Clippers, the future of the Clippers, and the future of that roster. And of course, the game tonight. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Let's go, Sacramento.